What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Counter Culture Podcast. We are interrupting my workout session today to get some content in because we haven't done an internal podcast and I had to release two guest podcasts last week. But we're still hustling. We're still trying to put out two pods a week. How's your day going so far? Baby?
I mean, nothing exciting. Dentist appointment.
Yeah.
Tox appointment. Not for me.
How's the fake doctor?
Fake doctor. Oh, dentist?
Yeah.
Fake doctor?
For anybody that's listening, dentists are a fake doctor. It is unneeded. It's not real.
Yeah, I have been seeing that dentist since I was like a little girl.
Actually?
Yeah, literally.
Why?
I think that's the only dentist I've ever gone to in my entire life.
All the way in the falls?
Uh-huh.
Why? Why all the way out there? I mean, that
my
would be
mom used
super
to work
far.
At Community Memorial, and I lived in Jackson, so all of our stuff was in Menominee Falls. That's where I was actually born, and then we moved.
The falls?
Mm-hmm. We moved to Jackson when I was like 6 or 7.
I feel like my stomach hair was just like hanging out.
So like our pediatrician was like before Community Memorial was Freightert.
Mm.
Because it's Freightert now, but it wasn't when I was little.
Okay.
It was like Community Memorial Hospital and whatever hospital system my mom worked for. So that's where her insurance was.
Hmm.
So we did everything. In the falls, and like I never went further than Waukesha, so I didn't really have any reason to like leave that dentist.
Yeah.
So
growing up, how much trauma did you go through?
What do you mean?
I'm just kidding. I'm joking. As if I'm gonna interview you.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
I don't think any.
Okay. So you went to the dentist and you did some tox on somebody, huh?
Yeah. Then I injected someone's crow's feet with neurotoxin. I got paid for it.
I think that's so weird.
Why?
Because like
wait, what's weird?
People getting tox, like I just find it weird.
What's weird about it?
It's not natural.
Yes, it is.
Picture that. No, it's not.
It's botulism bacteria.
Fine. No. I mean, the actual tox itself may be natural. But like the process of getting tox is not natural. It's like like I like to see some wrinkles. Mm-hmm. A little bit. At least on dudes. Like I think it's weird when dudes do it for sure. Cause I feel like you earn your wrinkles as a man. So getting rid of that just seems strange. Like what would you think if I smiled at you and I had no like expression?
I don't think anything about it.
You would think I was gay if I got tox.
I don't know. I have a male client. He's
there's difference older. Between having the client and your boyfriend doing it. What would you think if I went and got my nails did every week?
I mean, you get your eyebrows done every week.
That's totally different.
Really?
It's super.
How different. Is that different?
Okay, so this is something I do want to address. I want to address this because I posted on my story, on our story rather, about me getting, I think you guys scoot this way a little bit. I posted on our story about me getting my eyebrows done every other week. I get my eyebrows and my haircut every other week. And like a couple people called me gay.
I mean, I don't think making sure that you're like,
Presentable
and cleaned up, because otherwise you'd have a unibrow and that is not attractive.
We have seen, you've seen like if I go 3 weeks without getting my stuff yes. done, but since before we have dated, I have made sure to take care of myself. Cause I think this is one thing that guys do not do well is they will focus on their money. They will focus on like their personality, all this stuff, but they will not focus on, and they'll even dress pretty well, but they don't focus on maximizing their look potential by how do they clean up their face? How is their skin? How is their hair? Like all these different things. I see dudes often that dress really good, but have lopsided sideburns.
Okay. So then what's your problem with if a guy gets Botox?
I think
that's
okay,
cleaning up your skin and
for
your
sure. But I think there's features to a guy that like need to be had, right? So because otherwise it looks weird. Like, I don't mind if a dude takes care of his hair and his eyebrows, obviously, because I do it, so I might be biased. I don't, I even go so far as to say, I don't care. Like, I don't think it's weird if a guy does their nails. Like, if they like go to the, what is that called? The manicure? If they go to the nail shop, is that how you would say it? If they go to the nail salon and they get their nails and toenails done, because it's all how you're presenting yourself, right? Like, this dude is cleaned up, blah, 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 blah. But it's an extra mile to like go and get tox done because you're self-conscious about the wrinkles that you've earned throughout the years. It's akin to, for me, dudes who like at a certain, like guys when they're 50 or 60 and they suddenly want a Corvette or a motorcycle and they haven't been into it their entire life. It's like they're just trying to prove a point, or like they're trying to delay the process of getting older. You get what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, like I guess I probably wouldn't want you to have Botox.
There's something attractive about the masculine essence when like when a guy has some wrinkles and they look a little bit worn out.
Yeah. I mean, I am indifferent to it for other men.
Yeah, but for me, yeah, because you want their money too.
Yes.
Yeah, but for me, I just don't picture it. Like, I think that, yeah, keeping house clean by making sure that your hair is done well and that your eyebrows look good or whatever, and even your nails and stuff, which I don't do a very good job at. But, I mean, my nails are always kind of short anyways. Mm-hmm. I think that that's all really important. Like, guys need to learn how to take care of themselves. Like I said, I've seen so many dudes who dress to the nines. They dress super good for work or whatever, but they have lopsided sideburns, or like they haven't cut their hair or gotten it shaped up or whatever in months. And I'm just kind of like, you're missing the entire point, mm-hmm. you know, especially dudes who are like single and on the market actively looking for a girlfriend or for whatever, for dates and stuff. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, your clothes aren't going to get you anywhere. They're like, a girl's not even going to look at you like, and be like, man, that dude's attractive just because of clothes that you wear. Like, you got to keep up with how you look.
Sure.
It's not sure. You know that's true. If we would have met and I was all busted up, bad hairdo, unibrow.
Yeah, the unibrow would have.
Yeah, we never would have spoke.
Yeah, no way.
Yeah.
With the unibrow.
Exactly. And dudes that are fat. I'm just going to keep it a buck. Like, dude, get it together, man.
Yeah.
Get it together. Anyways, I could go on for hours about that stuff. We went to the CrossFit for Health Summit.
We did.
That's a good thing to recap.
Yes.
What was the CrossFit for Health Summit about, and what did you learn?
It was, I guess, how kind of alternative ways of staying healthy than our traditional American medical system.
I would say preventative medicine.
Yeah, more preventative medicine, but even more preventative in a sense, like not pushing medications and actually talking about the things that are going to keep you healthy and promote longevity in your life, like fitness, exercise, supplementation, diet, stuff like that. So
doing CrossFit.
Yeah, doing CrossFit. So a lot of really cool presenters on different theories about things.
There was Dr. Rhonda Patrick, Dr. Gabrielle Lyon, Dr. Chris Palmer, Dr. Tommy Wood. Thomas DeLauer was there, mm-hmm. which was crazy. Who else?
A bunch of like CrossFit people, Nicole Carroll,
Karen.
McCoy.
Tom McCoy. Dr. Tom McCoy, who we're going to talk to next month.
Yeah. Man, there's a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of good information and.
It was good. It was probably the most valuable trip I think that I've been on. in the past.
Yeah. I mean, of all the trips that we've taken, I mean, obviously Wodapalooza was fun. Charleston sucked.
We talked about that, right?
I don't know if we talked about that. Did we?
I think so. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
We got very sick.
Yeah.
Very,
we can't, we did an internal podcast the week that I was still sick.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Charleston was, I was feeling pretty bummed. We had a rough January with like traveling and changing our kids' schedule. I couldn't compete in this competition that I had been, you know, looking forward to, and let my partner down, kind of. I think she's fine, but
yeah.
but it was just a lot of time, effort, and money invested in something that I didn't end up being able to do because I was so sick.
Mm-hmm.
So we booked the CrossFit for Health Summit literally while I was like having shaking chills.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like having a really hard time wrapping my brain around traveling again and going to it because it was only 2 weeks after that. And it was pricey because we booked it so late. But it is by far the best conference in which I've earned CME for ever that I've ever attended.
Yeah, it was well worth it. But it put into perspective to me like how sick America is.
Yeah.
How actually sick America is, and how little the healthcare system cares or is set up to actually deal with it.
Yeah.
But one thing that I do have to, I have to, and I have to put this out there. I have to do it because it's a vendetta of mine. CrossFit and the people in CrossFit. Somebody please make this make sense for me. People keep saying CrossFit cures chronic disease. Is that it? Or chronic illness? Whatever. One of the two. Make this make sense, please, people. Somebody talk to me about this. People keep claiming CrossFit cures chronic disease. Is it CrossFit, the modality, or is it just the fact that people are moving? I need to know what the people's opinion is. Because if it's CrossFit, the modality, I'm not with it. But if it's CrossFit as a community, as people moving all together, as a lifestyle, that type of thing, sure, I can get behind it.
I think that that's what part of the conference was about. Was, yeah, obviously you're moving and people tend to follow a better diet and mm-hmm. do all these things. But I don't know. You know, there's maybe a couple other fitness modalities out there that have this like community aspect.
There's a lot. That's the thing. CrossFit, the thing that CrossFit did well is that it's a cult. Like you buy into CrossFit as a lifestyle as opposed to it being an exercise modality. So people, when the people who are in CrossFit, when they talk about CrossFit, they're not just talking about clean jerks, Metcon, imams, all this stuff. They're talking about, okay, this is how we eat as CrossFitters. This is how we live as CrossFitters. We are all into the, you know, whatever. So, but CrossFit is an exercise modality. It's not actually a lifestyle. CrossFit is an exercise modality. People associate it with certain lifestyle things. So like, and I don't know, maybe this is just to my own detriment. Maybe I overthink things too much, but I don't like when people make the claim CrossFit cures chronic disease, because I believe that movement and proper nutrition, diet, supplementation cures chronic disease. It's preventative. So people just make this flat out statement, CrossFit cures chronic disease. And I don't think that there's ever been, at least to my knowledge that I've talked to or that I've listened to, there's never been a discussion over why it's CrossFit.
Yeah, I don't know if people are saying only CrossFit cures chronic disease. I think they're just saying CrossFit is an option to cure disease.
And I get that, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just being contrarian to be contrarian, but it's like, I don't like such a blanket statement, you know, like I don't like when people like say things like that, you know. It's like, it has a bit of, charlatan esque feel to it. You know what charlatan means? So it'd be like the person that claims to know everything without backing it up, without the evidence, right? So a charlatan is somebody who would like be like, the carnivore diet Like, people think that Paul Saladino is a charlatan because he, like, will die on the stake about the carnivore diet, but they think that he's doing it because he's pimping out his supplements. That's, like, what a charlatan is, right? So, like, people think...
Yeah, but CrossFit's not pimping out supplements. I think
no, CrossFit is pimping out more than that. They're pimping out... And, again, I do not have a vendetta against CrossFit at all. I actually truly believe that CrossFit is the way, but I'm playing devil's advocate. I think CrossFit is pimping out a lot more than that. They're pimping out CrossFit merch. They're pimping out CrossFit games, CrossFit semifinals, CrossFit Open. CrossFit has a lot to gain from people buying in on CrossFit. Do you get what I'm saying? They have a lot to gain, a lot of money to gain, a lot of stuff. And it's not to say that I don't believe that they believe what they're saying. It's just I want to get the record straight about what this claim is, where it comes from, and why people say that. Because to me, bodybuilding also cures chronic disease.
I think bodybuilding, if you're doing like non-restrictive and trying to get on stage and stuff, I don't know.
What's not restrictive about CrossFit though? CrossFit's very restrictive when you think about it as the lifestyle.
I mean, like food wise, like fueling your body.
Same as CrossFit. Like the idea.
How is CrossFit restrictive?
Because the original.
If anything, I think it just is.
No.
You're encouraged to eat more food.
No. The original thing was CrossFit. The original thing was plants, nuts, seeds, or plant, meat, nuts, seeds, or something like that. It was like paleo. Paleo was the CrossFit way.
Yeah, whole foods and.
Yeah, that's restrictive. The same way that bodybuilding is.
So bodybuilders who are eating all of the like sucralose and you know diet
do the
sodas.
Same thing.
Yeah, but that's not the original. You're saying the original CrossFit, eat nuts, seeds, blah blah blah, a little sugar. There's no talk about Diet Coke in there. You know, like
about Diet Coke with bodybuilders. It's not like they say that this is part of the diet. Bodybuilders have if it fits your macros. So I would argue that bodybuilding diets are less restrictive on a food-to-food basis.
Sure.
Maybe not caloric, food-to-food basis than CrossFitters are.
Okay, fine. You allow more shitty foods that are processed, high in all these like artificial dyes and all of this stuff on bodybuilding. Mm-hmm. But CrossFit may be fine if restrictive isn't the word we're using or you don't want to, you know, whatever. Maybe CrossFit's food is more restrictive, but it's focusing on whole foods, which would be more in line with curing chronic disease than artificial foods.
But hold on. But that sounds great. That sounds great. However, how many CrossFitters are eating Snickers bars since Matt Frazier said that he eats Snickers bars in between events?
Yeah, I mean,
how
I
many
know.
CrossFitters are eating gummy bears while they're weightlifting, mind you? So, you know what drives me crazy is when people are lifting weights and they feel the need to eat sugar. I remember when you were doing that, when you were eating Sour Patch Kids while we were like, while we would be lifting, like in the very beginning of the, and I would always like think to myself, bodybuilders do this too. It's always driven me crazy. Why? Like, you're not depleting glycogen from an hour and a half of weight.
You can refer to Renaissance periodization because that's what I would follow back then.
Did they tell you to
weight.
Do that?
Yeah.
Oh, to maintain your weight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was in a weight class. I had.
There's a difference between eating. No. Okay. There's a difference between sneaking in calories while you're lifting for the sake of eating calories and having it being easy and people thinking that they need extra carbohydrate mid-workout when they're doing something that's not very intense in nature. So like a lot of these people are convinced that they need to eat carbohydrate, a large bolus pre-workout when they're not doing something intense.
I mean, I would, it was 15 grams intra-workout. That's what I would follow.
And there's a difference with people that are eating intra-workout carbohydrate for no reason too. So like a person who's like a normal CrossFit, like a person who is a mid-tier weightlifter or CrossFitter eating carbohydrate simple sugars in the middle of their workout for the sake that they think they're going to get even 1% is crazy to me, because it doesn't even make sense.
I don't know. That's what our Renaissance periodization.
Yeah.
That's
calling you out. I'm calling out, like, I'm saying, like, bodybuilders and, like, all these people who do that. I'm like, dude, that you're missing the ship here. Like, the entire idea should be to get your total carbohydrates throughout the day. Do you get what I'm saying? I don't know. Whatever. I have a lot of problems.
You would have to argue with RP. Maybe we should call Dr. Mike Israetal and help you with that.
I would spank him.
Yeah.
He doesn't even eat carbohydrate intra-workout. He doesn't even do that. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe
ask him.
Maybe that was a strategy in the app for you to get your nutrition in. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean.
But RP is not the only thing that does that. They're not the only people. Like, that's been an adage for years, to eat carbohydrate during a workout. Anyway. What were you going to say?
I don't know, because now I don't know what we were talking about after you freaked out about that.
Just went out on a tangent. Anyways, the CrossFit for Health seminar was super duper good.
Yes, it was very good. Very eye-opening, and lots of thoughts and feelings coming from that weekend.
Lots and lots of thoughts and feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm... The gym is almost done. 2 weeks.
The gym is almost done.
How you feel about that?
I'm ready.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, obviously chapter coming to a close, but it's been a tough 2 years. That's for sure. But I'm definitely ready for it to be done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same. I'm so ready for it to be done. It's like surreal to me that it's happening. I like will think about it daily.
Really?
Yeah, think about it. Well, duh, I'm here, right? Yeah. Every day. So I think about it every day and I'm like, man, I can't believe these 2 years went by like that, and now it's all gonna be over with, and don't have to worry about it really, or focus on trying to get this play. I don't know. There's so many feelings. Like, I was like mopping yesterday here, mm-hmm. and I'm like, why am I even mopping? Like, just let it get dirty. And I'm thinking, no, it's still a place of service. Mm-hmm. Still have to keep it clean for the people that are coming. Obviously, always do a good job until you can't do a job anymore, right? Yeah, it's just crazy.
Yeah, it is. But I think this next chapter is going to be much better.
It's our glow up season.
What is that?
You don't know what that is?
Glow up?
A glow up is like when you get pretty,
yeah, I mean,
or start
I get
to get success.
I,
yeah.
I understand the concept.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Just keeping the perspective that it's just closing this chapter and moving on to something better.
Yeah. Truth. I had something that I wanted to talk about today on this podcast that was going to be kind of serious. Ah, okay. I've been up since 5:08 today. 5:08. And I have not woken up this early voluntarily in a couple of a year.
I mean, we've probably had like several 2:30, 3 a.m.
That's not voluntarily though.
Okay.
That's like I have to, because we're not going to make a flight, you know.
Yeah, I guess.
But I haven't woken up at this time voluntarily in a long time. Lately, my natural body clock has been waking up at 7, because we've been using this supplement at night called Third Z, mm-hmm. Which is a sleep supplement. It has GABA, L-theanine, magnesium. What else? Magnesium, 10 grams of collagen, blah, blah, blah. And it's been like doing a really good job at just keeping me asleep throughout the entire night. If you want to get your hands on some Third Z, by the way, use Counterculture ZZZ. I'll have a link to the product in the show notes. But because I've been able to like sleep throughout the entire night, I've been waking up at 7 naturally. And then yesterday I decided to wake up at like 6:15. And I forgot how much you can get done in a day when you wake up just a little bit earlier. Like, yeah. I got my breakfast done by like, I went to Starbucks to get his coffee. I got my breakfast eaten by like 7:15 and I was on the computer and I got a whole bunch of stuff done and I was able to run around and do errands all day that I needed to do, plus clean the gym, plus whatever. And then today I woke up at 5:08 in the morning and got to my like men's group Bible study thing. We're reading this book called Living Life Backwards. At 6:15 till 7:15, I was able to go to a coffee shop for 30 minutes before I drove my son to school and work on the podcast a little bit more. And I just feel hyper productive. And I feel like more awake.
Yeah.
Is that weird?
I don't know.
I think I'm going to keep doing
maybe because you're sleeping better, more, you know, you're getting better sleep with Third Z. And yeah, I mean, the quality of sleep could just be improving your energy.
Yeah.
I think it would be wonderful to get up early if we went to bed early.
We do go to bed early.
Really?
Yeah. She just wants so much food at night. She's like, has to make her smoothie.
No, we need to be better about going to bed early. That's something I made very clear today. It's 10:30 latest bedtime.
Yeah, I mean, I want to go to bed that late or that at that time, too, because I want to continue this track of going to bed or waking up rather at like 5:30, 6 o'clock.
5:30?
Yeah.
I don't know if you'll get up at 5:30.
I want to.
All right, we'll see.
Maybe 6:30. But either way, somewhere between 5:30 and 6:30 is where I want to get up. It's been good. I like it. It's only been a couple days.
2 days.
But I like it. Well, I used to do this all the time. I used to, my earliest personal training clients that I used to take was 4:30. I would take people at 4:30, which means I was up by 3:50 and I'd get ready and I'd hop in the car and then drive to work. I'd have somebody at 4:30. I'd book somebody for 5:30. I'd take like a half hour off and then I would do 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock and then work out. Chill and then get back to work at 2 p.m. I've always hustled like that, always. Mm-hmm. And then last year, I wanted to become a CrossFit Games athlete at some point, right? And mostly I wanted to make semifinals. But so I started taking maybe a little bit more than last year, but I started taking my sleep more seriously, I guess, and like sleeping in. But I think, and I said this on our story today, that I think that a lot of people use sleep and recovery kind of as a proxy to be lazy. You know?
I don't know.
What?
I don't know. Maybe people do, but sleep is the best form of recovery.
Yeah, for sure. I believe that. But I think a lot of times, like, yeah, sleep is really good for your health and it's really good for recovery and stuff. But I think some people just use it as an excuse to be lazy.
I think it depends what your goals are.
No one needs 10 hours of sleep.
Babies need 10 hours of sleep.
Okay. But what baby is a CrossFit Games athlete or like a basketball player or whatever? Mm-hmm. Nobody needs 10 hours of sleep.
Yeah, but if you're a CrossFit Games athlete, you have no other responsibilities except to train. Why not?
Yeah, good point. Colton Merton still works and like does other things besides besides CrossFit.
He is the exception, which is why I think people like him.
Okay, yeah, but gosh, I really don't feel like crapping on CrossFit so much, but like,
then stop.
Yeah. a lot of athletes are just babies.
Like, yeah, I mean, they're all like 19, 20.
No, like I'm trying not to swear and I'm trying not to say like bad things.
Oh, I know what you're trying to
they're
say.
They're babies. Yeah. Like they can't handle things, right? So it's like, oh gosh, I don't want to be mean and stuff. But like, it's like, like they could be making money, right?
Yes.
They could be focusing on more than just CrossFit. And they haven't made it to the game's level yet, right? And so, like, they're like, I need to sleep more. I need to sleep more. I'm broke. I can barely afford groceries. I can't. There's so many things that I need to get done in a day, but I just can't because I'm chasing this CrossFit thing. It's like, just wake up a little earlier. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to be a little bit tired. Yep. But that's kind of how life is, right? Because then I just think often, like, what happens after this?
You know who else gets up and works her ass off all day?
Who?
Rebecca Fousseyer.
Yes.
She gets up at like 4 a.m. coaches.
Yeah. And see, that's the point. It's the whole point is that, like, I feel like so many people are just whiny babies, dude. Like, they're just whiny babies. Yeah, like,
they are.
They won't get up and wake up a little bit earlier so that they can, like, handle more things or have more load because they need to get enough sleep so I can recover. Eat some more food, wake up, and get the day started. You're probably going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's, I don't know. We don't have to talk.
Paulie's going to listen to this and be like, I sleep 10 hours a day, a night.
But Paulie also gets everything done.
Yeah, she does.
Paulie also makes money. She also trains twice a day. She's a workhorse. A lot of these athletes are not that. They're just like babies. Like and children, mm-hmm. right? Like the only thing that they want to focus on, and like I can only say this because of life experience, right? But like the only thing they want to focus on is their sport. And that's cool. But then they also wish they had the fruits of labor, which is also cool. But like, you don't work enough to have money. So why should anybody just give it to you?
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? And a lot of them are like, well, I just wish I could get sponsorships. But it's like, you haven't proven that you can get sponsorships. You haven't proven that you're of value to companies. And I mean, this even goes for us, right?
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, I don't know, why whine? And if all you're going to do all day is think about the sport and recovering and sleeping and whatever, it's like, you can't whine about anything really. You're doing it to yourself, you know?
Yeah.
How do we get on that?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
People are using it as an excuse.
Yeah.
Using
sleep
as an excuse to be lazy.
Yeah. I really genuinely think that. I genuinely think that people use sleep as an excuse to be lazy, you know? Cause there's so much more you could be doing. Like, you don't need 8 hours of sleep every night. I won't believe that. Is it optimal for your health? Is it optimal for your health?
Women need more sleep than men.
Yeah, because you have vaginas, which means you are.
No, there's been evidence on that women need more sleep.
Yeah, there's evidence too that.
And I think everybody's different. Like, that's fine if you can function on less than 8. I need 8 hours of sleep.
I agree. What I'm saying is, is it optimal for your health and for your mood and stuff like that for the majority of people? Yes, I think 8 hours is that for sure. But it's not going to kill you if 2 days out of the week you don't sleep 8 hours. If the majority of your time, right? The same thing with like health and fitness, eating and all that. It's like the 80-20 rule or the 90-10 rule.
Sure.
As long as you're on 90% of the time or 80% of the time, that 20 or 10% is not going to hurt you that much.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
I know everything.
I would get up earlier if we went to bed earlier, but.
Yeah. And I think that we should do that.
Mm-hmm.
So in this book that I've been reading, Living Life Backwards, it's a reflection on the book of Ecclesiastes in the Bible. Where are we at?
34 minutes.
Cool. It's a reflection on the book of Ecclesiastes in the Bible. Basically, the author talks about how basically we're going to die and that not any of this really matters what we're doing.
Wow.
It's really
uplifting.
Yeah, it's kind of depressing, the first two chapters of the book. But towards the end of the second chapter, he goes on to talk about like it becomes more uplifting. And I'm assuming that they're going to unpack later on like how to live your life fulfillingly because of the fact that you're going to die.
Sure.
But basically, they say the toils of man and like all this work and stuff, eventually it means nothing because you die.
Mm.
Right. And it got me thinking, and it makes me think a lot about, I think about that often. I think about the fact that we're going to die often. Like, I have like little mini panic attacks about that. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, we're going to die. I don't have enough time to do everything that I want to accomplish. How am I going to get this done? And it like motivates me to do more, right? And something that we talked about in the group today was like, how often have you, I'm asking you this, how often have you had like a goal or like you wanted something, you achieved it or you got it, and then that was it. And slowly the excitement of that like drifted away. Like it was something that you really looked forward to. You were really wishful and hopeful that you would get this thing or achieve this goal. It could be your degree. You were like excited to get this degree or whatever. Yeah. And then suddenly the excitement from that thing, once you got it, it like goes away really quick.
Yeah. I mean, all the time, every time.
Yeah. That's kind of like the point of what we were talking about today. And like what the book was saying is that like everything is temporary in that mm-hmm. sense. So it kind of almost begs the question, like, what is the point if it's that temporary to do certain things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that you should just live your life to be happy, like eat, drink, be merry type thing. And it really got me thinking. There was like two things that I thought about this is like, right, like they're saying like don't work too hard because you're meant to like enjoy life, you know? So like don't work too hard on, this is what the book kind of says. Don't work too hard because at the end of the day, your fulfillment's not going to come from that type of thing. But it got me thinking about two different scenarios. Well, the first thing was, man, is it really easy to say that when you're in certain positions in life as opposed to other positions, right? Because growing up, I come from no money. I came from wondering if the electricity was going to be on when I got home, you know, during certain periods of my life. I came from, I didn't know if there was going to be food in the fridge, you know, when I came home. And so I think it's really easy for some people to be like, yeah, don't work too hard because it's not going to be what fulfills you or whatever. When you have been like, when you have had the pleasure to like live a somewhat comfortable lifestyle. So how are you going to tell a poor person, don't work super hard and just enjoy what's going on, when dude, they their entire life revolves around work
mm-hmm.
and saying that that's meaningless and don't try that hard. But their entire life revolves around work because they need to simply just keep the lights on at home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's like a rough, like, I don't know how you can say that to people.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing that I got to thinking about was I've never really looked at life as, I've never really looked at life as doing things simply to make you happy. I don't think that life is about happiness. I think life is about doing all the things that are necessary. And I've always thought this. I think that life is about doing the things that are necessary to get to where you want to be, and that happiness is a byproduct of that. So I think oftentimes when we think about happiness, we're actually talking about instant gratification
mm-hmm.
and not fulfillment.
Because
mm-hmm. to me, doing the work is fulfilling. Mm-hmm. That's what keeps me happy. That's what keeps me in a fulfilled state. Instant gratification, though, I think is what most people look at as being happy. When I get that house, everything's going to be better. When I get that bank account number, everything's going to get better. When I get that car, I'm going to be so happy. You know?
Right.
People look at, there's a hard, rough distinction between happiness and instant gratification.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I'm thinking.
Yeah, I can see the wheels turning.
I think that I wouldn't agree with don't work too hard either, because life is too short and whatever, you know, that whole mm-hmm. spiel you just went through. Because I would agree that I think working hard makes people happy.
Yeah.
Like, I am more happy when I train routinely and train hard. I am more happy when I work to keep my house clean. I am more happy when I benefit from working hard at my business. So I'm making mm-hmm. money in my business because I am working hard to like retain clients and stuff. So I agree with that part of things. I think that people get into situations that they are unhappy in. So then they start saying, I don't need to work hard because life is too short and going to work makes me unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when you get to, and this is coming from somebody who is in this boat right now, I have one thing that makes me very unhappy and I have other things that make me very happy. And both of them are work,
mm-hmm.
right? Like owning and running a business is a lot of hard work, but it makes me happy. It fulfills me. It fills my cup, whatever. But going to a job that does the same thing, makes money, makes me very unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if someone is recognizing that in themselves or recognizing a situation in which they're saying, I don't need to work hard because life is short, that's because you're not doing the right thing. You're not doing the right thing that fulfills you.
Right. And I think part of the point was also like, don't work so hard that it's at the expense of like your family and stuff like that. Right. But like, yeah, what if the work is what fulfills you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think personally for men specifically too, I think that work is part of the fulfillment. I think men gain a lot by being on the pursuit of something.
Mm-hmm.
Most times when I talk to men that are like depressed, sad, or they don't know what to do, it's because they're not in a pursuit of something or they feel that what they're doing is meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the work is fulfilling, then the hard work and the ability to grind and work for hours is brainless and it feels good.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting book. I'm really excited to see how it unpacks.
Yeah. Both. I feel like that is an interesting concept.
Cause I agree life is short and you need to enjoy it, but what if the work is enjoyable?
Right. And I think that that's the problem is most people aren't doing the right thing or aren't doing the right work that makes them happy.
Yeah. And so another thing, I don't believe that God, I don't believe God would tell you not to work hard. I think that would be the opposite of biblical. I believe that God wants you to work hard in honor of him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that God would put into you the ability to work hard in light of him, to show what you're capable of through God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that it would be that God would say, yeah, don't work hard, just enjoy your life.
Yeah.
I put you there. No, I think he wants you to honor the blessing that is life and the blessing that is the ability to work hard and achieve your goals and dreams.
Yeah. I also think, like, obviously, if there are other things that make you happy in life, like your family and, you know, for example, your family, I guess. Once you find that work that makes you happy, you can balance it, you know?
Yeah.
It's
But there's always ebbs and flows in life, too, where there's times of balance and imbalance. Like, it can never be fully balanced, right? So it would be tough to say that I could have balanced the gym and the podcast together, right? Like, it's impossible. If you want one thing to work, you need to do one thing.
Right.
You can't be halfway in two things and expect it one thing to work 100%.
I agree.
It's impossible. I think the same goes for life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Eventually, when things are good and when they're kind of on autopilot, then I think that there is a period of time where you can like balance the two, whatever balance means to you. But yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how the book unfolds. I really, as kind of depressing as it was, and I hate to say this word, I was almost triggered by it.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's going to be some good stuff in there.
What did the other guys say about it? Did they think, oh yeah, you should not work so hard?
Yeah, I think that they came across, or some of them said like, you know, when they got, you know, the house that they wanted, that they realized slowly or pretty quickly, like, that wasn't what was going to fulfill them.
Yeah.
You know, that it made them happy in the moment, but it wasn't like fulfilling or whatever. When their business, same thing, stuff like that. And I think that I come from a different background because I grew up poor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming this isn't like a slight on them at all. I'm assuming they did not grow up poor,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm assuming they grew up pretty affluent,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so I think that our perspectives are a little bit different because even I grew up, so I lived in a townhome. I never got to experience living in a house as a child. When I became like 18 or 19 is when my mom bought her first house. And then I lived there for a little bit and that was cool. But even as an adult now, we don't own a house, but we rent one,
mm-hmm.
right? We have a house to live in. And the feeling has never gone away,
mm-hmm.
of like, this feels good. This is really good. It's the same. It's better than I grew up. Like,
yeah.
And it's like a great situation. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's never like, it was never like I got so excited and then it dwindled off. It's like every day I get to come home. There's no one on the other side of the wall. Our kids are safe,
mm-hmm.
and they're warm and we have food in the fridge. And yeah, I just feel like I could cry about it. You know, it like feels good compared to how I grew up not yeah. feeling good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Did you give that perspective at this?
Yeah, talk? I did. Yeah. I did. Yeah. And I think it kind of like, yeah, it was definitely a different perspective, you know?
Yeah.
Cause like, I don't know when I like, these guys are really cool. They're really cool. But when I walk into a room, I can tell if I like have any like thing in common history wise, mm-hmm. you know, with people. And I'm sure my background is 100% like 180 different.
Well, you were warned about that, weren't you?
Yeah, yeah, I was. And no, but that's really good for me though, too, is to see how other people live.
Yeah.
You know, because like me, like, most people know, like, I'm just crazy. Like, it's just like, you know, like, I can be impulsive. I think my impulsivity is a really good thing a lot of times. Like, cause I'm not impulsive to like, what's it called? Like a detriment.
Right? Yeah. I don't think you do impulsive things like, gambling or like,
no, I make fast
money things.
No, and stuff, I make fast, quick decisions, mm-hmm. that can deliver on really good stuff.
Yeah.
But it's also nice to have perspective from like people who are professionals in like the real world, because I don't live in the real world whatsoever. Yeah. I'm literally schizophrenic. You know? I'm not actually schizophrenic, but I live in a different reality.
You live in the counterculture.
Yeah. I live in a different reality than other people. I think this all the time. Like for years I haven't had a job and like I haven't had a schedule to abide by besides like my own schedule and what me and my clients agree on. And, you know, I get to choose things and like Fridays I don't work, you know, type with clients. I do other stuff, but
yeah.
So I don't live in reality and other people do. So it's a really, it's cool to get the perspective. What were you gonna say?
I mean, I don't know if that's, I don't think you can just say like a general reality. That's other people's reality, you know, like there's people who think you have to work a job 9 to 5. You know what I mean?
Oh, but yeah.
I don't think that's something that, you know, we necessarily believe in.
But I
get what you mean. The normal, the social norm is to think that way or feel that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know where I was going with all this, to be honest. I just think it's like, it's nice to see other people's perspective. And I think that I kind of like need it too, because this is what I was going to say. I can be impulsive and I can be like, I was swearing a lot because I live in my own reality. I make decisions based on like, not on what a normal person, I guess, would make decisions on. I make them based off of like how I think we're going to progress like our life in a different way. So like, I don't like, you know, I don't answer to anybody is basically what I'm trying to say. And it's nice to see like, or to get perspective and to like see people and how they operate, that are professionals.
Yeah.
You know, that do have to think out their steps, because it's kind of like, even the demeanor in the room, right? I'm kind of like, oh, okay, everybody's relaxed and chill, so I have to pretend like I'm relaxed and chill. Everybody's kind of like sitting like this, you know? And I'm just not. I can't sit for more than like 20 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
And I had to today. So anyway, whatever. I don't know. It was cool.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm excited to be with a group of God-loving, God-fearing men on Wednesday mornings. It's cool. I have a community that I can go to now.
Yeah.
It's cool.
It's great.
Yeah, so anyway, I think that's it. You got anything else you want to add?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Cool. If you guys were wondering how our heads have been bobbling off our shoulders and our hair still stays in a nice ponytail, it's Hair Strong Band, and you can get one with 20% off using code. I'm gonna put the code in the show notes, and then the other code that you guys can use and we would love if you used is Paper Street Coffee. If you
that code is just CXC.
I just breathed chalk in from my hand. Code CXC. If you love coffee, Paper Street has got you, and they're the best. Use code CXC and drink up.
Yes.
Frost.
All the drinks.
Frost is great. It's a nitro cold brew. It comes in a can. That's what we love. And then we also love Stella is the grounds that we get. So thanks so much for watching. Hope you guys enjoyed. Please hit that like button. Please subscribe if you are new, and we'll talk to y'all in the next one. Peace out. Goodbye.
Bye.